Welcome to the High Rise Podcast, presented by Headset, the leading data and analytics company for the cannabis industry.
Welcome back to the High Rise, a laid-back, data-back conversation on all things cannabis, where we talk about Canadian LPs, US MSOs, products, and market analysis through the lens of data. I am joined today, as always, by Emily Paxia.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the High Rise.
Thanks, Emily. It is so good to be back. My favorite conversation of the week. These weeks just seem to fly by. I don't know if it's the same thing for you, but it is. I feel like we were just talking. And the amount of news that comes out in between is always, always crazy. Well, today, mostly U.S., I would say, is what we've got. Let's dive right into California, the Golden State. There was an MJ Biz article this week citing market expansion, particularly retailers' new licenses. I think it's pretty exciting news. Basically, 35 cities and counties elected to loosen cannabis restrictions back in the last election cycle. And, you know, I think a lot of our listeners know, and we've talked about this before, the gaps in the California market, areas where there is no framework for legal cannabis sales as cities and counties opted out. You know, that changed with a lot of ballot measures. And now we're seeing the results of that. We're seeing some licenses come through. I think the estimate was, you know, 100 to 150 new licenses as the result of the last election season that can open up, which is great because we do know that the California market is underserved in the legal aspect. You know, we've published some numbers on Headset about this, kind of the per capita spend, and I can see if I can look that up again as we kind of discuss this, but a lot of gaps, right? And so this is starting to close those gaps, long time coming. I think, you know, this is just going to be inherent growth for the industry as these things open up. And I know, you know, you're normally, maybe not today, normally in California. How do you feel about this? I mean, given this is kind of your backyard.
Yeah, I mean, when we were working on getting Proposition 64 through, one of the things we knew was that our jurisdictions would be able to opt out of cannabis and also just to kind of sequester these operations into areas where ordinary retail experience wouldn't be happening. Like you're kind of going into like these like warehouse districts or places, industrial complexes, and it's just not as interesting to people when they're having a retail experience. And, you know, as the pandemic, you know, kind of waged a bit of devastation on the state from an economic standpoint in terms of these local jurisdictions. Now we start to see groups being more open to kind of adopting cannabis programs, inviting cannabis operators into their locations, and then furthermore, really kind of changing some of the requirements around the zoning. So you could be found in a plaza with other retail environments, other brick and mortar sales experiences. And I think that it's really important for the industry because I think people are starting to see that the stores, first of all, look different than what they thought. There are a lot of really beautiful cannabis stores in California, especially where it's so competitive. I mean, if you just see like a Sweet Flower versus a Sarah versus a Spark versus a Apothecarium, I mean, those are all beautiful retail locations, and any landlord or shopping location should be very happy to have it there. And I think it also drives traffic. So if I was, for example, like a cafe, I'd be super happy if a cannabis store opened up next to me because the people passing through those doors are viable customers to be coming to my location as well. Whereas if we kind of, like I said, if we kind of put them in a cul-de-sac away from other things, then it's kind of wasted foot traffic that could be really beneficial to the other retail environments around it. So I'm pretty happy about it. I saw Nicole Elliott tweet from the state. She was kind of Gavin Newsom's advisor on the program, and now she's the head of the whole program here in California, really, and for good reason. She's one of the most seasoned people I know. I've known her since she was in San Francisco, and I saw her tweet about it this morning, and she really is a champion for seeing this market continue to improve in California, and so I was pretty excited to see it. So,
yeah, I think you bring up a really good point about the kind of this retail aspect, like being able to zone into retail districts. You know, I've shopped at cannabis retailers in California, like in areas like Southern California, you know, Santa Ana, for example, where the new, you know, flagship Planet 13, you know, is based. Areas like that are pretty industrial. You know, you're really close to Orange County Airport there. And that's kind of been the case, right? Industrial zones, airport zones, and the fact that it is coming more to the main street, I think is just a testament to the normalization that the industry has achieved over, you know, the amount of time. And I do think that it will even accelerate. It's like a virtuous cycle, you know, instead of being in some back industrial parking lot, which is, you know, where it is in many places and will still be. But I would have to send, you know, friends and family there. And it's like all the way over there, you know, kind of navigating these nondescript warehouses to find a shop. And now, yeah, they can be in a cafe and they can just see it right next door. And I think that will encourage people to walk in. You don't have to go so out of your way to go to a store, right? You can just maybe pop in. And those experiences you named, you know, those brands have great experiences for consumers, both new, you know, and existing consumers. So I'm pretty excited about it. I'm pretty excited about the opportunity to kind of move away from the illicit market and more access, obviously more access that just naturally, you know, you'll see some transition there of people out of the illicit market, which continues to be a challenge for California. And you're getting these regions opted in, you know, those that opted out before coming in now saying, you know what, it's not so bad. Sky's not falling and we could use the revenue as a city or as a county. And the consumers want it. They voted for it. You know, they voted for change here. And so really good to see, you know, it's one of those things where I remember this stuff happening in November and, you know, these conversations. And then that was, you know, in November, it's like might as well be years ago in the world we're at today. And here it is, right? Starting to pop up. And, you know, maybe this will help shore up some of that per capita spend in certain areas where it's under-indexed, right? The consumer, which signals like it must be black market. They're buying cannabis somewhere. And now with more access, I think it's only going to be a good thing. So exciting to see and exciting to see more. And let's hope more states follow like with this type of thing. It's still,
yes.
You know, I'm recording here in Seattle, Washington, and it's you still have to kind of go out of your way. You know, it's not so bad, but there are certain areas of Seattle where, you know, it's hard to access. Like you can't just be in a cafe and you see it across the street. So, you know, maybe we'll see this kind of trend go to other states.
Yeah, I mean, I still remember Morgan and I happened to be in Washington, in Seattle, the day that the market opened there, gosh, 2014. Mm-hmm. And we went to what was the closest store we could find. And it was seriously like a standalone store with all these like empty lots next to it, which actually ended up working out for the store because people were lined up around the block. But I just thought, what a waste of directed traffic of people being right there, captive audiences. If they could have been looking at what other retailers were around there while they were waiting in line, they could have potentially spread their commerce around. So I think this is all just, you know, I think you and I talk about this a lot, that cannabis no longer should live in a silo. It's a consumer product. It's a wellness product. It's a, in some degrees, a medical product. And, you know, it should be integrated more into society, and fear of the sky falling has largely been dampened by, and even just this week, there were more research studies that came out of Colorado that indicated that legalization only really does have a net positive effect on everything from teen access all the way through to the safety of the consumption around it. And so I think that this is just one further example where it's like integrating it into the landscape of our lives doesn't mean that we're like pushing cannabis on people. What it does is it means it's normalized, it's accessible, but it's also really regulated. And so it's accessible only to the people who should have access to it, which is adults. So unless, mm-hmm. of course, there's a prescription for the child with a certain condition. But, you know, that's a very different case than stumbling onto a retail store and walking in the door. But anyway, I'm excited about it. All of this is a very tangible demonstration of progress.
Absolutely. And the more you you push it out into areas like that, the more it just perpetuates the stigma. You know, this isn't something we want in our traditional retail districts for whatever reason. So now that that's kind of loosening, it's pretty exciting. And in markets like Colorado, you know, you get consumption lounges coming around, and in markets like Denver, and it's all pushing in the right direction for sure. And yeah, I do kind of feel like a broken record sometimes with this, I'm sure, audience as well, but it's going the right way. So speaking of states, big news this week, Illinois July sales were published. Some notable takeaways here. And for those that listened last week, we talked about June numbers and I mentioned, you know, we're going to have July numbers. So I do have some July numbers to share. But if you remember, the June numbers, pretty flat. It was either flat or down, maybe with a couple exceptions, a percentage point here and there. but not great. And when you looked at, you know, Illinois, May versus June, it was down a percentage. You know, I think they did in May about $116 million in sales, in June, $115 million in sales. And now they published their July numbers and it's $128 million in sales. So, you know, this is a good turnaround, and this is kind of what we're seeing in other markets here at Headset, that July was a really good month and kind of breaking this flatness that the industry's been dealing with. To give you context for Illinois, $128 million, that was versus $61 million last year, so they've more than doubled revenue. More good stuff coming out of Illinois recently with like licenses getting issued and the lottery kind of happening. So I think more and more, you know, good news out of that market, sizable market, a lot of population, but just really good to see kind of that breakdown. The last thing I'll say on it is that they do report on residents versus non-residents, which is crazy. At first I was like, how do they know it? Why do they know it? You know, obviously you get ID'd, but it's, you know, tracked at some level, but Illinois does have some restrictions on if you're a resident versus non-resident, what you can purchase. And if you're a resident, you can purchase up to 30 grams of cannabis flower, which is quite a bit. It's kind of possession limits, 500 milligrams of THC in a cannabis infused product, like an edible, 5 grams of cannabis concentrate. That's what's reported. If you're a non-resident, you can only get half of that. And so when you look at the residents to non-residents, it's 2-to-1 on the sales ratio. So 2-to-1, which makes sense if you can only buy half. I don't know if that's how the math worked out. If more residents just came through in general and bought the same amount, just twice as many residents. But I thought that was an interesting data point that they do publish there, especially with markets around them not having adult use and what that means. And we've talked about that in the past as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I was just talking with someone. I've been in, for all of our listeners, I've been in New York for the last few weeks. I'll be here for a few more. And obviously I'm trying to get my arms around what may come here, which seems like we're just gonna have to wait and see, especially with Cuomo and his disgusting stuff that he's gotten himself into. But that's a sidebar. But you know, one of the things we were talking about is the Western Massachusetts stores, because of the fact of, you know, Connecticut, of New York not yet having legal programs, those Western Massachusetts stores just bank it. And you can look at the numbers across the state, and it's like very clear about what's going on in the western part of the state versus way more populated Boston area in terms of residents, to your point. So I think it's a really interesting, it's an interesting data point, but I think it's going to continue, like you're to your point, where it's legal versus not yet legal is driving different traffic patterns. So it's cool, and it just goes to show how much demand exists around this product, that people will cross state lines to go to procure it. And that's just the nature of what, of the industry that we're in. So it's very encouraging to me.
Yeah, when we look at county or like store sales in markets with adult use cannabis that are on the borders of states, like near Texas, you know, and you see like a disproportionate amount of sales coming out of those areas, which is, I think, pretty clear, you know, that people are crossing state lines, you know, for that stuff. So Illinois kind of having actually publishing that number is neat to see. Also, I guess in other state news, just from the Headset data here, to give you guys a sense of kind of what we talked about last week versus this week, where, you know, June numbers were pretty flat. July hadn't closed out yet, but these markets like California up 3%, you know, not a huge percentage, but you got to remember that California is a very big market. And so the more, you know, sales that you see, you know, the smaller the percentage growth is going to be. Colorado up 8%, pretty significant. We do see that in the summertime in Colorado, tourism, things like that. But I mean, that's some good growth for a very mature market. Michigan 7%, Oregon 5%. Pennsylvania 6%, Washington 4%. So it's a lot better than what we were saying last week when we were talking June numbers, where we were flat or down a percentage. And then you see, you know, what's coming out of Illinois, and what is it? They did 115 in June, and so that is, what is that? Is it 11%? If my math is right, increased to 128. So going from 115 to 128. So that's great, and it's only gonna keep growing. So maybe we're turning a corner here. It is strange days. You know, in June, things were kind of opening up. Yeah, the pandemic was cooling down. Now we're kind of open, but maybe not for long. Who knows what's going to happen here? But that could have impacted June. There's stimulus stuff that was happening prior to that. So when you're just kind of looking month over month, it's really hard to kind of pin down what is going on. You know, when we were talking last week, we're saying like share of wallet, like maybe people are spending more on restaurants and bars and going out, less on cannabis at that time. Hard to say, right? Because consumer behavior is just kind of all over the place right now. And, mask mandates are kind of coming back. I mean, you mentioned you're in New York and like, looks like they're going to try to not do it, but there is going to be a vax card passports coming at the end of August, and that could change some dynamics. So really, it's anybody's guess, but the numbers are good. Let's hope they hold, for August here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Cinderella with the pumpkin looming, where it's like, I've got to get out and enjoy everything I can because I'm not ready to go back inside. No, exactly. And I feel like, last night I was out with Tahira Rematula, industry person, and also Tim Seymour. And we came out, it was a Tuesday night, and it was like the sidewalk, every bar rammed, people spilling out into the streets. And I'm like, wow. No, this is people. And also when you think about how it, inflation is felt very much at the restaurant and bar at this point, the tickets are really high. It's expensive to do these things, but I think it's just interesting. But I do think maybe there was, like you said, things were opening up. People like got out of the house right away. And now maybe it's more normalizing, but I think it's going to be a really hard time to establish any kind of patterns around what people are doing at this point, because the Delta variant's here and Delta Plus is now emerging, and you're going to have to beat me out.
When I saw Delta Plus trending online, I literally thought it was like a Delta Airlines new thing or something. I can't believe we now have a Delta Plus.
Like, does that mean it comes with additional amenities? Like, what?
Right. More leg room.
More premium. It's not funny, but it's trying. I saw that too, and I was confused by that too. I was like, what did Delta do now? And and especially I don't know about you, but I've been calling it accidentally instead of Delta variant, I call it like Delta 9 or Delta 8.
Oh, yeah.
Periodically, and people are like, what's that? And I'm like, I've too much Delta in my life. Like, we just want Alpha. Delta. I just want cannabis Alpha.
Yeah, I think my brain couldn't put it together when it was Delta. What was it? Delta Plus? What are they calling it? Delta Next? Just that there's another one, right? Like, I can't even. So, we'll see what happens with these trends. Anybody's guess, but the numbers are the numbers. And looking good. Good to see that turnaround after kind of a rough May, June there from a growth perspective. So beyond states, we have earnings season coming up for a lot of the operators. That's going to be, pretty top of mind. I think, Emily, we should find some guests to come join us, some of the experts in the arena that, some of our mutual contacts, because I think it'd be really great to get some of their perspective on this stuff because they look at it very closely. One thing I did pull this week that, I think is a precursor to what's ahead, Jushi earnings. So Jushi kind of pre-released earnings. Their call is slated for end of August, August 25th, I believe. But they did, talk about some kind of top line numbers, particularly, revenue. The revenue was close to $50 million at $47.7, which they said is a 14.6 increase over the first quarter of the year and over 200% increase year over year, with a gross profit of $21.9 million, net loss of $11.4 million, EBITDA was $4.6 million or 9.6% of revenue, and then they have cash short-term investments of $126.8 million as of June 30th, 2021. One thing that I noticed reading this, and don't have a lot of context, right? This is just top line numbers, but that's some growth, right? And it's, 15% growth. And we were just talking about, June numbers and May numbers. And when you see the industry's kind of flat during Q2 there, to see, them talk about some of this growth, I thought was pretty interesting. Where do you think it might come from?
Yeah, as we were chatting about it, it's likely coming from the acquisitions that they've made and turning on assets. And that's going to be a lot of the value unlocking in terms of growth for these operators, is is new assets that they're going to be turning on. So it's either ones that are they're acquiring or ones that they've been waiting for the, you know, final approvals to open up, you know, like Ascend is. And this is, you know, this is where I think we are going to see like maybe a little bit more stabilization of growth of the big guys. And then some of the next kind of aspect of the tiers of the MSOs, you may see some of these bigger growth rates because they're just at a different trajectory in their business. They're not as established. And so they are acquiring and turning on more doors and or more operations in different markets. And so a very aggressive way you can grow your revenue is to make acquisitions. And but the art of it is acquiring truly accretive assets. So making sure it flows through and that ultimately it will flow through to a bottom line, because that's really where the rubber is going to meet the road on this. I'd say like, and we're also at an interesting time because next week we have a couple of earnings reports coming out and it's just then going to be pretty regular through September, as you pointed out. But, you know, folks should definitely dig in to understand the methods of accounting. I know we had a very nerdy session about this with Matt Carnes several weeks ago, because it's not all apples to apples here. So you have to make sure if you're looking at one as a comparison to another, it's a big questions. Are they U.S. GAAP financials or are they using IFRS? And it's just there are different accounting methods, especially when it comes to things like inventory and actually the timing of when things hit the books. So it's an important measure. And a lot of the analysts like Matt McGinley will actually call that out as a pretty clear note in their analysis of like, now granted, this is a IFRS accounted company. So just something as we're getting into earnings season, I thought I would mention. But, you know, this is pretty impressive. And I think, you know, people ask me, what do I think about the companies? And I kind of think of it in two ways. There's like the more stable kind of GTIs, like you kind of feel like there's going to be enormous potential unlocked there, but they may see more modest incremental growth quarter over quarter until they do make another acquisition or do unlock some new assets. But some of these smaller, earlier, like kind of younger MSOs, it's all relative, of course, could see these bigger jumps in growth as they're going after these more aggressive plans to establish their footprint.
All really, really good points. And I'm hopeful we can help, you know, our audience kind of understand a lot of this nuance of these reports that are going to be coming out. You know, I know you're close to a lot of this directly. And again, some of our mutual acquaintances that can kind of help illuminate some of this for our audience, I think will be pretty interesting, especially because so many retail investors in this space, right? And people that are trying to make sense of this stuff. And I think you can make smart decisions around this stuff. Jushi, for sure, a great brand. You know, I had the privilege of chatting with Dre Newman, their chief creative director, for a different podcast, Cannabis Packaged Goods, and kind of understanding, you know, what they're doing, how they look at the world. And I think they're doing some smart stuff. And you did mention, you know, creative through acquisitions. And I do remember reading some stuff around, you know, stuff that's happening in California with them, Massachusetts, Nevada, Virginia. I may not have caught all the markets that they, you know, made investments in, you know, acquired retailers, you know, and other operators. So I do think a lot of that growth comes from there. It will be interesting to see how all this compares. And there is a lot of that activity across the board, but maybe more with certain operators than others. And hopefully we can make sense of this all as it comes through. So I'm really looking forward to the weeks ahead and all the learnings here, and just to see how it correlates to, you know, what we're seeing in the numbers for the industry at the same time. Well, I think with that, great place to stop. Lots more to come next week for sure. As always, Emily, thank you so much for carving out the time in your travels here. And I hope everything is going great out there in New York. And looking forward to catching up again next week.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me. It's always fun to do a touch base on these things. So we'll keep it coming.
Sounds great. All right. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the High Rise Podcast, presented by Headset. For more information on Headset, visit headset.io.